Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1629, William Warrington.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR General Residential District to a GR RPC General Residential District Residential Planned Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying west of Road 362, 3,500ths of a mile south of Road 368, and to be located on 16.02 acres, more or less. My note straight here. Gentlemen, this application was reviewed through the Technical Advisory Committee process. Those comments from the Technical Advisory Committee, since that committee no longer meets but provides it through a paper trail by giving us comments, were received on January 31st of 2008 and provided to the Commission by copy of the TAC report. In addition to that, on February 4th, the Commission was, or the office received copies for the Commission's benefit from Kirscher Engineering Incorporated, an exhibit booklet titled Evergreen, which is a part of the record. And I do have a couple of additional agency comments, if I may.
Yes, sir.
First one being from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Makes reference to the applicant, the site, the location, the tax map parcel number, the number of lots proposed being 49. The size of the parcel. This site is located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available for this project. Ordinance number 38, construction will be required. There are no system connection charge credits. There is a system connection charge rate of $3,235 per EDU. A connection point has been provided along the parcel's frontage on Parker House Road. The applicants can contact the Utility Construction Division for verification of that as-built information. Conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. As previously stated, the site is located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District and connection to the system is mandatory. The county established the district in 2001 and began planning and design of the sewer system to serve the area. Construction is nearly complete in this area, and connections began in January of 2008. The proposed project is within planning study assumptions for sewer service and capacity will be adequate for the project. The proposed development will require a developer installed collection system in accordance with county standards and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point. The engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval, and they provided a conceptual plan checklist for that purpose. And those comments were signed by Rob Davis on behalf of John Ashman. Now, the second comment is also from the county engineering department and was dated and received today. And make reference to this project, and it's the Public Works Division comments, and it gives a listing of site plan conditions totaling 27 points of interest where there needs to be some corrections in this details. And then the attached to that were the same utility planning comments I just read. And as I said, that those 20, the 27 items I read. Yeah, 27 items are basically site plan requirements. I don't think I need to read them into the record. And the last comment was a Sussex Conservation District from Debbie Absher, District Coordinator, and dated February 13th. And received again today. We are advised that the soils on this site are mapped to be Hamilton sandy loam, Hurlock sandy loam, Mullica mucky sandy loam. I like the old name better, I think.
Yeah.
During construction, the applicant will be required to follow erosion and sediment control practices and maintain vegetation. That the site contains areas of hydric soils, and the applicant will be required to follow federal and state regulations in regard to wetlands. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected. There is a tax ditch affected. Off-site drainage improvements may be required to ensure the project will have a clear outlet. And that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and the applicant will be required to follow state sediment and stormwater requirements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site, a copy of the soil survey map and soil information characteristics, and also, again, a copy of a report on prime and other important farmlands. For the benefit of the commissioner, I want to just pass this color aerial down. It shows how this project fits right between a multitude of subdivisions. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Murray this evening, I believe.
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering, located here in Georgetown. Stand before you representing Mr. Bill Warrington, as was mentioned, for a proposal known as Evergreen, which would be a residential planned community. I'm just going to start briefly touching on what Mr. Lank just finished talking about, identifying. If you look at the aerial, there's a smaller version of this in the booklets that you have under Appendix 2, Page 2. There's also a state strategies overlay map behind that. The project, known as or proposed as Evergreen, is located right along Parker House Road. As was mentioned, there are several subdivisions adjacent to it, most notably to the south, a rather large community known as Plantation Park, which is a community of single and double-wide trailers. There's also a community located directly to the north known as Ocean Air. That is also a GR zoned community of single wide and double wide trailers. As labeled to the west of the project, on this plan it was Starlight Woods that I took from an old tax map, but I'm come to understand it's actually known now as Silver Woods. That is a GR zoned piece of property. Located right up the street from us, there's Kensington Park, which, from what I understand, the county's tax maps is a high-density residential planned community. Village of Bear Trap Dunes, which I'm sure most are familiar with. One subdivision, which is not labeled, which is on this plan, is below Shady Dell Park, adjacent to Kensington Park, known as Forest Reach. I say that because the nature of Evergreen, being also proposed to the GRRPC, is similar in character to the Forest Reach project. This property is 16.02 acres. So on the 16.02 acres, we're proposing 49 dwelling lots. All lots would be serviced by Sussex County Sewer, as was mentioned by Mr. Lank. Tidewater Utilities would also be the water provider. There are a few areas within the community. Adjacent to the entrance, there are two areas of open space which would actually be used for stormwater management. There's also an open space stormwater management area that would be located along Parker House Road. One thing that was mislabeled on this plan that I do want to make your point your attention to is there is an open space area located at the northwest corner of the property. It's around 21,000 square feet. That area is labeled as stormwater management, but I would like it to be noted that stormwater management would not be planned in that area. That would actually be left as an open space, and there would be a couple different amenities in that area, most notably a tot lot and a pavilion area for residents within the community. I just wanted that to be noted because it's labeled as stormwater management on the plan. The streets within the community will all be built to county standards, and there will be a series of sidewalks along each side of the road throughout the entire community. Street lighting will also be provided in this community, which is, of course, not something that is provided in communities that are adjacent to this project. The couple projects that are adjacent to this project, most notably Ocean Air and Plantation Park, do not have paved roads. They also do not have sidewalks, and they do not have street lighting. We feel that this is a superior design when compared to that. There are three areas of wetlands that were delineated by coastal and estuarine research, Ms. Evelyn Marmeyer, Dr. Evelyn Marmeyer, I should say, located at the western bounds of the property, centrally located in the property, and along the southern property corner. Those areas would not be made a portion of any lot. In fact, it was a recommendation. One thing I don't think that was mentioned was this project did go through the preliminary land use service, the PLUS process, aside from the TAC. And one of the recommendations by Denerec was that those wetland areas delineated would be created as a permanent conservation easement. As delineated, there are no development plans for those areas, so our client would not object to open into a dialogue with Denerec to create those as permanent preservation areas. I believe something else that was not mentioned was we also do or did receive a letter of no objection from the Delaware Department of Transportation for this project dated May 25th, 2006. The homes that are planned for this community would be a minimum 1,800 square foot in size. They would be stick-built on site, so they would be of quite a different character than what is in the immediate surroundings. Knowing what is adjacent to this project, and one thing that's not shown on the plan and an item we're willing to make a condition is, all of the properties, the lots that bound the border of the property, it is our client's intent outside of the building restriction line. This whole property is forested now, and it is the intent to leave, at a minimum, the existing tree stand remaining in those areas to create a buffer between this project and the adjacent properties, knowing how different they are in character. In terms of multimodal, DelDOT did recommend that a 10-foot wide multi-use path be installed along the entire property frontage, and it should be noted that the sidewalk network, as noted, which would be in the community, would connect to that roadway network. So if DelDOT does come down the road in the future and extend that multi-use path down the road, there would be a multimodal connection. That is all that I have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone who has any questions for you. And we'll start once again with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Murray. Some of the questions you cleared up, you did mention that amenities will be provided.
The northern corner that was mistakenly labeled stormwater management, that will not be a stormwater management area. That will be an amenity area.
Mm-hmm. There will be street lights and sidewalks on both sides, and they will tie in with the DelDOT mandated pedestrian easement.
Correct.
Would there be a school bus stop?
If recommended by the commission, the market for what the target is for this community would be more retirees or those possibly, upgrading their homes. It's not known, of course, if there would be families in the community, but of course we understand that it's been the practice of the commission to recommend that bus stops be placed near the entrance, and we've most certainly left room to provide those covered bus shelter for children, so we would not object to that.
If required by the district?
Did I say district?
School district.
Commission. Or the school district.
I mean, but if they required, they may not, as you said, based on a number of students anticipated.
Correct.
Sorry, just didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Have restrictions and covenants been?
They weren't at the time this went through TAC, so.
No, covenants and restrictions. It was noted by Mr. Robertson in some of his comments that covenants and restrictions should be provided. Those have not been, draft covenants and restrictions have not been provided yet.
I believe, was I correct in reading that in one of the PLUS comments, they mentioned perhaps incorporating something about tree removal in the restrictive covenants?
There was a recommendation, of course, as they put it in the PLUS comments, it's a property that's currently forested as being, as they created, a residential forest. They did recommend a tree replacement provision for the community. Now, of course, with the size of the lots, it may be prohibitive to do, say, a one-to-one. Because if you visited this property, and if you can see by the aerial, the entire property, the entire thing is woods. There is no open space. And with that, the communities adjacent to us are also wooded, and they've been selectively cleared. So where they have homes, where they have driveways, there's, of course, no trees. They are surrounded by trees. There is an opportunity, I would think, to create some sort of tree replacement strategy in some of those areas, most specifically, in the areas outside of the building envelopes.
Would it be overstating the obvious to say that the commission should look at this as an infill, given the map that you've put there?
I'm sorry, an infill?
Yes.
I would say, I mean, it's clear that the area around us has been developed, of course, but what is being proposed for this is, in terms of our immediate neighbors, we feel is a much nicer product than what is adjacent to us. The reason that I mentioned the Forest Reach subdivision, which was adjacent to Kensington Park, is if you visit, it's very much similar in character to what this would be. The lots are similar size. The only difference is that their amenity is a pool, and as I would call it, a very small shower house. The pool's rather small. I'd say it's about 15 by 25. But it's very similar in character to what this would be.
Have you or the applicant been in touch with Rob Gano at the regional wildlife biologist?
No, he has charge of, you mentioned Kensington Park, but that's state wildlife lands directly across the street off Parker House Road and butts up to Kensington Park.
Correct.
Have you made any overtures?
We have not made contact today.
Would you guess that he would be interested in how this site develops as far as how it might impact on his on his lands that he's steward of?
I would think. I mean, we are adjacent to that land in that we are disconnected by the roadway itself, so we are not an immediate neighbor to them. There were comments issued by Denerec stating, of course, the location and proximity to that area. We wouldn't object to presenting the plan to them, showing them the plan again, specifically, and going over any concerns they may have. Again, across the frontage, I mean, there will be the Mulvaney's path, of course, which creates some clearing, but we don't foresee that there will be any adverse impact on their lands. There won't be any development of their lands based on this plan. I don't think we'd object to having a conversation.
You'd be interested.
Sure.
You have a dialogue with him to see if he has a different opinion. Okay, thank you. Has there been an environmental impact study commissioned on this?
We had a wetlands delineation done on the project, and that's at this time it's as far as we've gone in terms of delineating the limitations, what we have out on the property. A couple of the adjacent lands seem to have large areas that were rather wet, and when we had an initial well and delineation on this, we did find, of course, the pockets as shown in this plan that are wooded and were classified as being forested wetlands. There was some dialogue between our office, our client, and the wetland delineator as to whether the largest pocket of wetlands shown in the center around the lot surrounding it, if that would be considered isolated. Typically, if the wetlands aren't located adjacent to any sort of conveyance, whether that's a ditch or a larger water body, they're typically considered isolated and non-jurisdictional. In this case, we don't intend on developing that area, so it would be preserved and remain as is.
I don't have any other questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
No questions at this time.
Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Murray, I'm sorry that Mr. Smith wasn't here during this presentation. I would have had a little bit more to say given the plus comments and the response to plus comments. And I appreciate
I wasn't responsible for the plus comments, but I understand. I'm hopefully
that's
here to
why
answer
I said
any questions
I, it's a shame
had.
Mr. Smith wasn't here so I could address those issues with him directly. But you have clarified some of the issues, which I think were critical, you know, in terms of things that you know the commission is going to expect you to require, such as the sidewalks and some open space. And if you pull out your stormwater management ponds, could you approximate how much open space you're actually proposing?
If we remove...
Take the stormwater management ponds out of your calculations, how much open space is actually being proposed in this lot?
And also not including the wetland area.
Of course.
We're looking at 21,320 square feet, which is around half an acre.
Okay.
Which is similar in character to neighboring communities and what they've done in terms of providing open space.
So this is a different project than is
correct.
Adjoining
correct.
Properties.
Correct.
Correct. Because as you stated earlier, the other ones do not have sidewalks, and some of them do not have paved streets.
Well, adjacent to us. The parks adjacent to us do not have sidewalks. And for that matter, Silver Woods, which is located, which I believe the construction is just underway, Starlight Woods behind us, they're also a GR subdivision. I visited the site, and they also do not have any sort of open space provided. They also don't have sidewalks. They also did not have street lighting. So.
Different commission, different time.
I understand.
Thank you.
I understand.
The stormwater management ponds that you are proposing, how close are they to the road?
What we're showing on the plan, if you look on the plan, we show a 20-foot wide stormwater management buffer as required by the Delaware Department of Transportation. And that's from the ultimate right-of-way where the road would be. So with this plan, in order to obtain a letter of no objection from DelDOT, we had to provide, as they call it, a 40-foot wide strip of right-of-way dedicated from the center line of the existing road. So you can see where that dedication falls. That takes about 15 feet away of the property frontage here. On top of that, from that location, the top bank of any stormwater management facility or the extents could go no closer than that location. So it would be 20 feet from that right-of-way dedication at a minimum.
So if you showed us a landscaping plan for that area, what would it look like from the multimodal pathway that the DelDOT wants you to put in? Are we talking a grassy area? Are we talking?
More than likely it would be forested. There would probably be a section of trees left between the multimodal path and the stormwater management facility. It would seem somewhat silly to remove the trees that are already there, being that this property is wooded, just to place more landscaping. We could leave the trees in that area to create a buffer between the stormwater management area and the multimodal path.
So you wouldn't have a problem with the commission requiring that those trees remain so they do not become a trash collector?
Correct. I don't think that would be an issue at all.
Because as you may be aware, that's at least one of my concerns about stormwater management ponds being located right next to the roads. Going back to the letter sent from Colleen Holland in response to response that you didn't make.
I understand.
One of her concerns that was addressed in there was about the impervious surface calculations and the excellent recharge area and how much impervious cover would be left. Is that addressed in your...
Well, in the original plus application, and for the record, I don't know if you have. I think we included the plus comments in there, so they might show the extent of the recharge area. What they identify as good recharge area actually starts right about here, runs up the property here, and then snakes back right around where this wetland area is. So it's right about in there, is where the good recharge area was. We had on our plus application stated based on this plan that we would have approximately 37.6 is what we broke down to, impervious surface, 37.6%. And I believe in the plus response they had stated that they prefer in those areas to have around 20% maximum impervious. That is something we would have to take a look at. Of course, there would be differing, we mentioned the minimum square footage, but I think there would be an opportunity to limit it. What helps us on this project is that we do have central sewer, we do have central water, so there wouldn't have to be any additional clearing on the lots other than a building footprint and a driveway. So there is a great opportunity to limit the impervious or at least help to create, preserve some of the forest that's there to help with that recharge.
The issue of a buffer from the wetlands, what are you proposing in terms of a buffer I understand there's no wetlands in any lots, but what about a buffer from those?
At this time, we're not showing a buffer from the wetlands. In the plus and in the TAC comments, typically, they request a buffer. Technically, we normally don't provide the buffer. We're not technically required to unless they're state wetlands. But with that, we you're correct in saying that the extent of the buffer is shown now from, say, a dwelling to the wetlands would be the extent of the building restriction line within the lot. So the lots themselves do not contain any wetlands. And with that, there's a building restriction line that would be established. So no dwelling could go outside that building restriction line. That's the extent of any buffer from a home or dwelling that has been provided.
And as you were well aware, the state typically requests a 100-foot buffer, and I think more of late the commission here has requested a 50-foot minimum buffer from those wetlands, whether state or federal. Another issue that was raised by the state in the plus comments or the response to the response or whatever it was having to do with the lots that front on the roadway. They were requesting a buffer. Are you showing a buffer on there?
We're not. I mean, there would be essentially a buffer here. If we're talking about landscaping between the stormwater management area and the road, there, of course, then have to be a landscape buffer in this area between these lots. On this side, there's simply the stormwater management buffer here. And of course, if this is really, so really you're only talking about possibly lot one then, of not having a buffer. If the application was looked upon favorably, and we're talking that there would be a landscape buffer required between the pond and the multimodal path, then you would essentially have a buffer in this location. You would have a buffer across this location here. So you're looking at lot one in that area. We're not showing a buffer.
Well, specifically what Denrick was requesting was a 100-foot footed buffer be planted along the lot lines and Parker House Road. I mean, because this is something I haven't seen. I don't know if it, you know, it's not what was originally in our booklet here. And I realize my new glasses are coming in next week, but even with my trusty magnifying lens, I couldn't find the buffers on there. So you're not proposing.
We're definitely not. I mean, again, the buffers, if was made a condition, there would most certainly be buffers placed where we've mentioned. We have not provided buffers from the road. I guess with that, I'd say that we also understand that when getting these plus comments from some of the agencies, sometimes it seems that some of the comments seem to be a bit aggressive. That's not to say that buffers should not be required, but we're not currently showing the 100-foot buffer that they're recommending from the roadway.
And other than the stormwater management pond, then I'm hearing you're saying that along Parker House Road, the only wooded buffer would be in the area of the stormwater management pond.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Lank, do we have a copy of this map in our? Thank you.
You should have gotten it quite some time ago.
Excuse me?
You should have gotten it quite some time ago when it was mailed out.
I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Burton?
Yes, sir. Was there mention of a tax ditch?
I think it was on the previous application. Not on. There are no tax ditches in the vicinity of this project.
Okay. Is there some kind of a separation buffer between the newly named active open space, whatever, the new lot and the wetlands? Will there be some kind of a buffer saying this is wetlands and this is a tot lot?
Are you referring to this area up here?
Yes.
Yes, most certainly. I mean, there's the tot lot itself. Typically, you're going to have some type of safety gate around that, knowing that it is a tot lot, you know, for children. We're not showing a buffer, but definitely in that situation, we're not adverse to providing one. There will most certainly be a buffer along the adjacent property lines due to, you know, creating some sense of privacy and separating what's planned for this community versus what is in this community. There's no buffer shown, but we would most certainly entertain providing one to provide for the safety of the children.
Will that half acre be cleared? Is that what you're seeing, with the exception of the buffer?
The preference, of course, would be to only clear it for the amenity. There's not really a need to clear cut that area in any way to place those amenities. So there's definitely not a plan to clear cut. It would only really be to clear that space for the amenities.
Is there any buffer, the stormwater management pond that's down here in the triangle area, the 16,000 square foot?
Right here.
That would be accessed from the road?
It would be either from the road, or there would also be easements created.
And I don't know if it's listed on the plan or not, there would be easements created between lot 29 and 28, and between lot 29 and 30 for access. We do have room in that area to provide additional open space that would be independent of any lot for access, but it was envisioned that the most readily accessible area would be straight from the county road to get in there to provide any maintenance operation.
Okay. And you mentioned that you would, in your covenants, would surround the property with the existing woods that is there.
Most certainly.
So in the, and how big a buffer would that be?
We're looking at a minimum from building restriction line of 10 feet, but with that, of course, the applicant, in their covenants restrictions, which, you know, we understand we still have to get a draft copy, you know, to Mr. Robertson. I would think that they would most certainly be willing to provide additional buffer if they can, you know, working with that to provide an extra separation from this development with the other developments.
So it would be 10 foot?
Minimum.
Minimum, and then, okay. And you said there was a wetlands delineation done, so that those are the wetlands that you
correct.
Had marked on the map?
Correct.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
Just one question more for Mr. Lang. Is this the same site plan that came through as part of the TAC, or Mr. Abbott? I mean, just want to make sure that I'm looking at the same one that's up there.
The only one that we received was signed by Mr. Warrington on June 7th, 06.
I'm not suggesting that there's different ones. I just want to make sure.
That's the only one I've seen.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Sorry.
All right, sir. No, quite all right. Thank you. And Mr. Murray, thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1629, William Warrington?
Good evening. Eric Howard. My number is a little longer than Mr. Howler's. I'm a member of the Delaware Board, 2066.
2066?
Yes, sir.
And not only is it longer than Mr. Howler's, it's longer than Mr. Schrader's.
It is that. It is that. And I'm much his junior, much his junior.
Go ahead. Speak in favor.
I represent Mr. Bill Warrington, and I support everything. And Mr. Warrington endorses what was said by Mr. Okay. Murray and supports the application.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? If anyone here would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1629? Anybody on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.